The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
Media Prima has plans to buy Rev Asia for a cool 105 million ringgit. Now, once completed, that would combine traditional media such as TV3, The New Straits Times, with more urban contemporary platforms, Says.com and Juice Malaysia, all under the same roof. Is this a marriage made in heaven or a clash of clans? Today on The Breakfast Grill, we have Rafiq Razali, CEO of Media Prima Digital. Rafiq, good morning.
Morning.
Rev Asia, 105 million ringgit. Real quick, set the stage for us. What's the rationale for this deal?
Firstly, Han, thanks for having me. I think the rationale behind this deal is threefold. The first one is that it's quite rare to find a digital asset that's actually profitable. So this will be an earnings accretive acquisition for us. We'll immediately add to our bottom line. So we like that. And the second part is that we like the team at RefAsia. We feel that, you know, it's made up of very strong individuals, you know, operating, you know, very cohesively, and I think they have managed to build a great business over the past couple of years. And I think we look forward to actually having them a part of the Media Prima family to help us drive the business even further. And the third piece is that it's an acquisition of an audience that we don't have. As you mentioned, you know, perhaps our audience base right now is a bit more traditional, but I think for us is really this will give us access to the more urban, contemporary, very much English-based, you know, Chinese-based, and young Malay-based audience, which would be additional to what we currently have.
So given that they are already profitable, and of course your intention is to make sure it remains profitable, what are your intentions for the, you know, operations costs? So for example, the headcount at Rev Asia. Because I would think there would be synergies to be had between Rev Asia and the current staff at Media Prima Digital, correct?
Sure, yep. I think purely from a cost perspective, yes, there will be cost savings, but we don't intend to do it from a headcount perspective because, again, we like the entire team. They're operating very well as is, and we really don't want to, you know, impact that momentum or change how they actually operate. But the cost savings will come from two things. First one would be the systems and tools that they use. Both parties probably pay for the same services or same tools, like the tools that monitor our traffic, the tools that, you know, does the backend systems and whatnot. And these kind of things can be unified under one, and which will lead to cost savings. The second part is that it's on the distribution portion. While they write great articles, sometimes they will need to invest to ensure that more people read the articles that they write or the videos that they actually produce. Right now, because we also have a wide audience base, so distribution can also happen on our existing platforms. So they don't have to pay to actually acquire more audiences in the future as well.
But let's be honest here. I'm sure there are people at Media Prima Digital who are doing the exact same thing as the people at Rev Asia right now, correct? I'm sure that's got to be there. So what's going to happen then?
Actually, very little redundancy, or very little, what do you call that?
Like overlap?
Overlap, sorry. Okay. To be honest, maybe the only overlap would be on the social media side, social media management listening, and some parts of digital marketing. But pretty much everything else is quite unique to us. And that's something, that's why we like the acquisition as well, because we're actually acquiring a bunch of skill sets that we don't have. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why we really like the team, and we definitely look forward to, you know, growing together.
Now, in trying to assimilate the team into Media Prima, and just to be clear, while I am a former employee at Media Prima, I would bet there's going to be a clash of cultures, right? So given your stint at Media Prima now for 1 year, now, are you seeing yourself having to carve out a different culture for your unit, that unit being Media Prima Digital?
Yeah. I think for the past 1 year, one of the mandates given was also to actually create a specific culture for Media Prima Digital itself, even prior to this acquisition. I think Media Prima Digital, if you, I mean, you're welcome to visit our office one day. It's actually a very different space, very different bunch of people.
But you're Sri Pentas as well, right?
Yeah, we're in Sri Pentas, okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But we have our own space, you know, it's very much an open concept. Basically, we want to run it like a startup with a very startup-based mindset. And it's very different than what you normally see in other parts of Media Prima as well.
How's that coming along though?
Working quite well. I think, you know, I think we're starting to influence other offices to start embracing the startup mindset. So, for example, our sales team for TV sales recently renovated the office, and I think, you know, it's pretty much influenced by the open concept that we introduced for Media Premier's office. So I think, you know, it's good that we're starting to see some parts of our culture being adopted elsewhere as well.
But the interior design aside, now what about the workflow and the processes and the efficiencies? You know, because generally speaking, when you think about a traditional media company, you know, there are inefficiencies as they try to, you know, shift, make that pivot towards the digital space, right?
Sure.
So how are you influencing the Media Prima group on that front?
I think it's basically to show success across what we have been doing. And, you know, I really believe that success begets success. And what happens is that if we show that there's a new way of operating, which is very efficient and can also lead to us, you know, capturing good progress, then I think, you know, it would actually influence other parts of the organization to also do the same thing. For example, last year, we actually launched 13 apps. I think for our organization to launch 13 apps within a space of 12 months, it's quite amazing. We have to operate on a very fast pace. We have to really you know, move things along quite fast. So corporate governance aside, which is also important for any listed company, I think we have managed to figure out ways to actually supercharge the process as well so that, you know, we can move a lot faster.
So you've got 13 apps, like you mentioned. You have this proposed acquisition of Rev Asia. You have all your other initiatives. Just walk us through here. What else is in your portfolio?
Basically, under my portfolio would be Media Prima Labs, which is our in-house venture building arm. What we're doing is we're looking at the intellectual properties that we have in the group and, you know, extending that into the digital space via apps. So, for example, last year we launched Jalan Jalan Cari Makan, which is an extremely famous TV show. So we turned it into a food discovery app, and I think that's one of the top performing food discovery apps in Malaysia, even right now. So I think that's an example of what we do at Media Prima Labs. The second piece is actually to run big data for the group. Basically, it makes sense to actually pool all of the assets together within the Media Prima Group under one data infrastructure. And that's something that we've been doing for the group for the past 1 year.
So you've got apps, games, potentially Rev Asia, big data. And from what I understand, you're also helping the broader group transform the assets into the digital space as
correct.
Well, right?
Yep.
So that appears to me to be rather scattered. You've got so many initiatives going on. How do you make sure you can hit all these KPIs and be efficient at the same time versus, you know, your previous gigs, you were at Groupon, you only had one thing going for you. KFIT, same thing, right? Yeah, you're making that shift from having just one core focus to now you're doing to do so many things all under this so-called digital umbrella. How do you even go about achieving those goals?
I think in the end of the day, it's about understanding that eventually it's still one core focus, right? It's to be, you know, for example, from a publishing perspective, we want to be the number one digital publisher in Malaysia. And for that to happen is to understand that what needs to happen in the back end, what's our eventual goal in terms of audience, in terms of monetization and revenues, and making sure that we build a correct strategy across all of our media assets to be able to achieve those goals. So it's about planning it out on a high end and to ensure that we actually fit the correct teams to be able to execute these kind of initiatives as well. So it's, back then I used to hustle together with the team in Groupon and KFIT and whatnot, but I think now it's a little bit more of a different role. I have to sort of work a lot more with other people because there's no way I'll be able to drive these initiatives on my own. So, I mean, but I'm blessed with, you know, a very strong team that we have in Media Prima as well to, you know, work with them and to bounce ideas so that, you know, it can be executed on a high level.
But be honest, you miss it though, right? You miss hustling with the people and getting hands dirty, right? Come on, Mr. CEO.
Well, I still do it sometimes to the annoyance of some of my teammates, but yeah, I mean, it's a different gig, but I'm enjoying it nonetheless.
All right, so 1 year in, now you still have that very ambitious goal that you just mentioned, trying to be the number one digital publisher. Aren't you a bit late to the game though? Because, you know, there are other more established players in the industry already, right? So, you know, what do you bring to the table? How are you going to be different and try to reach number one?
I think for us, in terms of audience base, post-acquisition, we will have the largest digital audience for a Malaysian entity in Malaysia. I feel that there's a lot of value in localized content, and that's what we bring to the table versus, you know, a Google or a Facebook. I think the media space, especially in digital, is going to be extremely interesting in the next 3 to 4 years. Not only do we have to battle with the Facebook and Googles of the world, who's been taking our lunch money for the longest time. Now we even see telcos moving into this space. For example, Telenor recently acquiring 701 Search, which owns Muda. So I think, you know, telcos are also coming into the digital media space. And I think the competition landscape is going to be very interesting moving forward. But for us, you know, we believe in our core competencies, which is, you know, one, producing great content. And second one is to be able to engage people even more, you know, via whatever platforms that we have, both traditional and digital.
Speaking about localized content, look, let's face it, okay? Media Prima is owned by UMNO. They have their editorial agenda. So what's going to happen to the editorial stance or the editorial identity for sites like Sayers.com or even Juice Malaysia, right? You know, is the plan to let Juice Malaysia and also Sayers.com maintain their identities?
Prior to this acquisition, I think, you know, we've been given a strong mandate by the board and the senior management to really believe that the value of this acquisition actually comes from, you know, keeping them independent. And the moment we try to influence them or we tell them what to do, then, you know, we might as well not do the acquisition at all. That's what everybody understands. I think that's our position on this. And for us, it's really that, you know, we don't want to be impeding or influencing the editorial independence via this acquisition.
Can markets really believe and take your word at face value in that the editorial stance of Sayers.com and Juice Malaysia and the other websites will maintain as it is?
I would say don't take my word for it, but continue reading the content and you will see that, you know, it will not change.
I want to get your comments on this as well. So after news broke about that potential acquisition, there's this story in Malay Mail Online quoting some analysts saying that how this Rev Asia platform and its reach will allow Barisan Nasional to then gain insight into voter trends, perhaps what the younger demographic are, you know, gravitating towards. You know, what do you think about that?
I'm sure they're already doing it. So I don't think, you know, the acquisition of Rev Asia by Media Prima would add on to any of that. I'm quite sure all these things are already being done on a high level. I think for us, it's really not, I mean, that is not our intention at all. We have seen revenue pressure over the past couple of years. We know that, you know, a lot of the audience and the eyeballs are going to digital. And for us, it's a very clear move. We want to actually carve out a good niche for us in digital as well, so that we'll be able to remain viable in the long run.
All right, in just a bit, we'll discuss Media Prima Digital's role within the broader group and how you find your niche, so to speak, amid this traditional media giant. I'm speaking to Rafiq Razali, CEO of Media Prima Digital, and this is The Breakfast Grill.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U-Mobile.
Thanks for staying with us on The Breakfast Grill. I'm Tan Chung Han, and with me in the studio is Rafiq Razali, CEO of Media Prima Digital. As it stands, Media Prima Digital contributes about 2.5% to the group's revenue. Mm-hmm. How are you going to grow that stream, and what's the target here?
Okay, so I think I can share with you the targets or the broad target of the Media Prima Group moving forward, right? So as it is right now, 90% of our revenues come from advertising, 80% of our revenues come from TV and print, 95% of our revenues only come from Malaysia, and 92-93% of our revenues come from non-digital channels, right? By 2020, we intend to have at least 40% of our revenues come from non-advertising, 40% of our revenues come from non-TV and print, 10% of our revenues come from international or non-Malaysia, and 20% of our revenues coming from digital. So that would be the goal moving forward. Digital would actually contribute 20% of the group revenues.
Now that you have outlined those goals, now how are you going to get there?
I think for us, we have a plan in place. I think we are branding the plan as the Odyssey plan, you know, to go to new ventures and whatnot. So a part of it is, you know, to be the number one digital publisher, as mentioned earlier. And I think that should actually allow us to grow our revenue significantly. The acquisition of Rev Asia helps as well because it's an immediate addition to our both top line and bottom line. But I think, you know, the value of the acquisition also is through the synergies that we can have. So while, you know, we have our own revenue streams, they have their revenue streams, we don't believe that it's just adding both together and say, hey, you know, this is the number now, right? The synergies alone will allow us to grow at an even faster rate. And I think that should help us, you know, get to at least 100 million of revenues by 2020. Which is the goal for us. But the rest of the revenues will actually come from other digital initiatives that we plan to launch. And some parts of it I can't really share because it's still in incubation. But you know, it actually is basically looking at where the market is moving and how do we build assets to surround those particular initiatives. For example, we know e-commerce is going to grow. right, with the FTZ and whatnot, is going to accelerate even faster. Do we plan to build our own e-commerce site and compete directly with the Lazada? No, I think that's not our plan. Mm. But there are ecosystems that will be created because of the growth of e-commerce. For example, even e-commerce platforms, you know, require lead generation or require customers, right, in the long run. And that's where we will probably concentrate majority of our assets. We're a media player. You know, we know we can actually acquire audiences. And how do we build assets and, you know, services that can add value to these e-commerce players as well for them to, you know, get their customers in the long run? I think that would be our positioning. We want to grow together in e-commerce, not exactly by selling the products and services, but to be the lead generation and, you know, marketing layer for them.
But then going into some of those specific goals you outlined, for example, Media Prima Group, they intend to grow their share of revenue from non-AdX. Mm. They basically want to double it, right? From 20% to 40%. When I look at that number, I'm thinking paywall. Mm. Right, so instead of consuming the data for free and just having eyeballs, they are going to have to pay, right? Does your data show you that there's enough willingness and ability from Media Prima's consumers to actually start paying for this content?
Content that is currently available for free, I mean, if you actually put a paywall, then it's going to be quite tough for us in the long run. Mm. We do believe that, you know, and a Tonton is an exciting opportunity and that can lead to the growth of consumer revenues as well. But there are many other streams that we intend to grow. Firstly, also via home shopping. I think home shopping, it's one of the most successful initiatives we launched last year. I think we did about 61 million ringgit in revenue, so in the first year alone.
But that's not under digital, right?
It's not under digital.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
But that's non-advertising revenues.
Okay.
So the 40%. But we also have our play in education, which we are quite bullish about. So we have a product called Fulama, which is the...
Fulama?
Fulama, yeah.
Fulama, okay,
so it's full A mark.
Okay.
There's a wordplay to it, right? So yeah, yeah. So we're quite bullish about it. It's like online revision tool that will allow you to, you know, with past exams and with the tutorials and whatnot, that will allow you to, you know, do your revisions, you know, via an app or via the desktop.
What would an app like that cost?
10 ringgit a month. It's
10 ringgit a month.
Yeah, it's not expensive at all.
And kids are willing to pay that kind of money for revisions?
I think this year we're seeing a good spike in terms of the business. So I think that's why we're very bullish about it. And I think we will be doubling down on the education segment. Yeah. Mm.
Will we see a time when Media Prima Digital becomes the flagship of Media Prima Group?
I would say, I wouldn't want to call it flagship. I would say more towards, like, you know, how can we ensure that the audience that we cater to will still remain within the Media Prima Group platform. I mean, if you look at TV ratings, it's still quite strong. Not like what it used to be 5 years ago, but it's still, you know, relatively strong. And even, you know, outside the country, we do see, like, you know, some parts of media will continue being strong, even though it's being lumped as a traditional media, right? So we believe that, well, yes, digital is basically the avenue of growth, right? But even by 2020, we still believe that if you can achieve 20% of growth revenues coming from digital, you know, it's going to be a great success for us, which means that 80% of revenues will still come from traditional means, which is, you know, still a sizable chunk.
While that may be the case for the industry as a whole and specifically the digital space, and this brings us full circle here, is the full potential of, you know, the brands under RevAsia. Is that potential best utilized and best, you know, realized under the Media Prima brand?
We really believe so because, again, it's not unique to Malaysia. If you look globally as well, you know, you do see digital media companies, you know, combining their assets really to just be able to defend or to carve out their own niche against a Google or a Facebook, right? So it's not something that's only happening here, is happening everywhere globally as well. And that's what we believe can happen. We're not going to go hit on with Facebook or Google. We know that, you know, ad revenue is going towards digital, is growing at, you know, 20-odd% CAGR year on year. But if you look at the trends, you know, it's predominantly going to those two parties alone. Now with you know, our audience base, you know, with the kind of assets that we own, we do believe that we can leverage off of that growth rate as well and, you know, carve out a good size of the pie for our own. And that's the goal for RevAsia. But that's just one product, right? To have 20% of revenues for the group coming from digital, it's not like, you know, before where you have, you know, one a winning product like a TV Tiga, you know, which just dominates terms of revenues, right? It doesn't happen in digital unless you are Facebook, you know, where you, it's a one killer product and then, you know, you monetize like crazy, right? I think for us it's really a mix or a nice blend of, you know, products and services that can capture specific niches, because if you look at the consumer side, it's highly fragmented. And you know, but we need to be able to cater to every single audience, right? So it's not, I mean, my view is it's not one or two killer products. It's a bunch of, you know, products that we launch. But, you know, because we're a media organization, we can actually manage the back end, you know, together, you know, manage the product together, you know, leverage off of, you know, a strong data science team and whatnot. And that's how we'll be able to capture the audience. An example would be Axel Springer, which is a media company in Germany. I think, you know, 6 years ago, they were predominantly a newspaper company, but they said, okay, in 10 years' time, we want to have more revenues coming from digital than traditional, right? This is year number 6, and they've already done that. So they basically did 4 years ahead of target. And their strategy is very similar to what we want to do, which is it's not one or two killer products. It's maybe 50 potentially across Europe, right? So I think that's, you know, probably what we'll be looking at moving forward.
So besides the likes of Google and Facebook, you know, what do you see being the other key challenges, you know, as you try to, you know, grow the revenue from the digital space to a Media Prima Group? You know, I'm thinking what lower consumer sentiment, you know, challenges on the ADEX front, you know, what are you seeing?
I think ADEX, if you look at data, and it's still not growing at a super healthy rate, but it's still a sizable market, right? It's just that it's moving from a more traditional means to digital. If you have good assets in digital, then, you know, we'll cover our fair share as well. And I think, you know, that's why we are investing in assets such as RevAsia and whatnot. At the same time, the challenges I would say is that, you know, if you look at telco, right, if you look at what actually goes through their data pipes, right, it's majority of it is actually media, like videos and content and whatnot, right? Mm. So we know that telcos eventually will decide to move upstream. So, hey, you know, we own the pipes, right? But what's going through the pipes are media content. Let's go into media. And they have the cash flow, they have the, you know, bullets actually to actually venture into this market as well. And that's what we've seen with Telenor recently, maybe last week. They're more willing to actually make those big bets as well. The acquisition of Muda, it's not cheap. It comes at a very, very high valuation, but they're willing to actually do that because they believe that, you know, maybe media is actually the way to go.
You raise a good point because, you know, they're coming from a base where their customers are accustomed to parting with their money every single month. Whereas in the media space, no, it's been very passive, right? You know, I'm consuming all this content for free. You know, so how do you shift that mindset among your prospective customers?
I think some parts of content should remain free. I think, you know, there's value. I mean, for us, it's really how do we increase yield of our advertising? That's the first thing that we're doing, or what we have done last year, and we will continue doing. Traditionally as well, most of our revenue stream did come from you know, advertising. We are moving towards consumer revenue space, but not entirely towards a paywall, right? I mean, some services will require a paywall, but we do believe that there are other means to actually offer products and services that people will actually want to procure. Like, for example, Fulema is a totally different product than what we used to have, you know. It's actually very interactive. You can actually do past exam questions over there. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was studying for my SPM and I had those books.
Was it Pelangi?
Pelangi and Tasbadi, you know, those kind of books, right? And I used to do like 500-600 questions, you know, just before you know, the exams and whatnot, right? But these kind of things are now transformed online, and it's $10 a month. It's not expensive at all. We do believe that, you know, these are the kind of initiatives that we can do that would get us this consumer revenues, not necessarily putting a paywall on NST or Twitter Harian or whatnot.
Final question here. You've been CEO of Media Prima Digital for over a year now. That RevAsia deal, you know, of course, it's still yet to be finalized, but, you know, it's very much in the works. That's a big win. Mm-hmm. How do you top that? But in other words, what's next for the CEO of Media Prima Digital post-acquisition of RevAsia? Where do you go from here?
Time to go to work, man. I think that we got to show that, you know, the value that we are paying for will be fully realized. So I think for me, I'm excited, right? Like you said, you know, do I miss the hustle and bustle? I think, you know, it's definitely coming back. I think, you know, there's a lot more things that we have to do. But I think definitely looking forward to that. I think it's about, you know, ensuring that, you know, we have a master plan, right? We've built that over the past 1 year. Now it's a matter of execution. You know, in the end, most great plans fail because of a lack of execution. And that's something that we are fully aware of and very mindful of. And I think right now is really, I mean, how do you top that? And I don't think about that. More towards, you know, how do I ensure that, you know, we can execute this on a high level and really deliver results? Because, you know, I mean, I feel grateful that, you know, the board and whatnot trust us with this decision to actually go forward with this acquisition. Now it's time to show them or to prove to them that, you know, they made the right decision as well, right? We need to be able to deliver the results to our stakeholders in the long run.
Certainly wish you all the best on that front there. Thank you so much for speaking to us. That was Rafiq Razali, CEO of Media Prima Digital. I'm Tan Chung Han, and this is BFM 89.9.
That episode of BFM Breakfast Grill was brought to you by U-Mobile, where data hearts you.